This week on Video Death Loop.
イオンサプライ、ポカリスエット。
Plus, Aaron, the number to call a Puma is
1-800- Stop!
Hello and welcome to Video Death Loop, the show where we watch a video on loop until one or both of us can't take it anymore. I'm your host this week, John Hurst, and over here is my co-host, Aaron Littleton.
Hello, John.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello. How are you, right? You know, you don't usually start the show with that, but how are you?
You don't want to ask me how I'm doing. You don't want to ask me that.
Really, no.
Yeah, I'm doing fine.
Okay, good.
It's boring. We're trying to make an entertaining show. It's not a question that begins a conversation, right? I was reading something this week about how, like, 70% of all things that people say are like social niceties. There's some sort of word for this.
True.
They're social niceties that they only exist not to convey information, but to continue, like, just to hit like unspoken social cues. And I think how are you? It's pleasant to say, but it's also difficult to jumpstart a conversation with. Although I've opened this podcast 100% of the time with John, how are you doing?
Yeah, I never get to, but I feel like there is a little bit of a desperation that comes out when you reach out and go like, how are you? It's like, I need something to talk with you about.
Yeah, let's fill up a few seconds while one of us either comes up with a topic mm-hmm. or makes a silly joke about something that one or the other of us has said. And then that spurs into a deeper conversation. But John, we don't have to wait on a topic tonight because I have a topic that's been burning a hole in my head, and I want to run it past you.
Okay. That seems problematic for your head if it's burning on there. But go and tell me your topic.
I'm just gonna let it burn that hole all the way out. It's gonna fall
all
out.
All the way out.
Set on my desk. You get to pick it up, put it on your head, and then it will burn down, kind of like a hot penny on butter.
Ooh,
like it just burns right through your head.
Ew, all right. Gross.
So I was talking to my child, was involved in a conversation with my child, maybe we should say it like that, about
I'm sorry, hold on. Yeah, I like the word like involved in a conversation.
I feel like it was both my wife and I were talking to my child, and my child likes to talk a lot, and I don't remember honestly how much I brought to this conversation. I may have just been nearby and be like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I don't feel comfortable saying that I said any of these things because I soon spurred off onto my own thought process, which is we were having this conversation that I was involved in some capacity, possibly speaking in, possibly just listening to, possibly only partially listening to and then zoning out. It was about how blankets keep people warm, right? Like how like the thermal, the insulating quality of a blanket.
Yeah So you're having to teach like how
well
how
she understands insulation. She had her own like spurious hypotheses about insulation that seemed okay. But I was thinking about insulation and just how nice it is. Like when you're cold, you just reach and you grab like a blanket or a jacket or a sweater or something and you put it on and it's just like, ah, I'm warm and it feels good.
Cozy.
And
even, yeah,
it's I'm not wondering specifically about the feeling good part. I'm wondering about the reaching for the insulated object part, whether that be your blanket or your jacket or whatever. Do humans have a instinct for that, or is it something that we are taught? Because to me, it feels like the most natural thing in the world to reach for a blanket or a jacket if I'm feeling chilly. But is it natural or is it a learned behavior? Do humans instinctively understand that, oh, if I'm cold, I should put something on me? And that I don't know. That I don't know. What do you think?
There is a desire to, I don't know science on this, like, but there's like a strong desire to want to be warm, especially yes. like as a kid. I mean, you could even argue up to points like, well, you know, what is the womb but just like a organic blanket in some ways. It's warm, it's you know, comfortable probably inside for the baby
on yeah. there. Yeah, but is
you
it
go out to this cold ass world and it's like right. shit's cold.
But like as a baby, someone's putting it on you like pretty early on, yeah. you know. Like almost immediately in many cases. You're getting some kind of blanket interaction. It's one of the first yeah. things you interact with probably is a blanket.
Yeah, you start and developing like some like grip strength or something. You're probably going to use most of that grip strength to use on your blanket as you pull it closer yeah, to keep you warm.
Yeah, so no one gets your blanket. No, other no. thieving babies get your blanket.
I apparently was a kid who I would wrap myself very tightly like a cocoon, like that would be like it's like I guess I wanted to be a butterfly at the end or something. I don't know. I wanted the blanket very close to me. So
I've known people like that, like that end up in like blanket cocoons. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those people, but I don't really understand that, but I do know those people, and they absolutely will like make a burrito out of themselves with the blanket by themselves.
Yeah.
Like unconsciously at yeah. that.
Oh, I'm
but
guilty
also
of it.
Like just because you do something unconsciously doesn't mean it's an instinct.
Mm, okay.
It's just a deeply ingrained behavior. It's just what I wonder. I don't know. I have any evidence for anything about that, but it's just a thing right. that's been on my mind.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of of the opinion like you're just the desire for warmth and kind of keeping away. You got to regulate body temperature in some way on that. And like you know, like from an early. Oh, this is getting closer to your learn debate, but like from an early age. You would rely on the youth of the warmth of others, like or being close to them, or be like, you know, like as you're growing up.
Yeah. Maybe. Again, but that's learned behavior. That's just, I just wonder, right? Like sometimes I have noticed in my life that if I have a need, let's just say the need to go to the bathroom, I feel like mm-hmm. I need to go to the bathroom. And again, that statement itself, it's wrapped up with so much societal context, right? I'm not saying the actual function that my body is doing. Mm-hmm. I'm saying I'm going to this specific room that society has created to do a bodily function. I can't even talk about it apart from just saying I have to pee.
Yeah.
But that's just not the common way to say that, like saying it like that is a little dirty. It's a little funny. I got to take a piss. I got to take a slash. What's your favorite dirty way to say you got it? Taking a slash is pretty good.
Taking a slash is pretty good. I actually forgot slash was like an alternative for saying the word piss. It's pretty good. Like,
yeah,
you can really stretch out those syllables in there. You could just, and especially if it's like a really good one, you got to make sure if you want to make everyone in the room, make sure that they know you are taking a piss. You just really can extenuate. There's like 14 syllables in piss.
I know you can make that. You can make it last as long as you want. Is that a long I followed by like two S's? It's just good.
Are you a snake at the end? Yeah.
It's like a piss. It's just like it's the I that gets me in piss. Yeah. It's not the S's so much. It's just like that I sound. Piss.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. slash is good, but it's like it's very like especially we don't hear that often around here. So like you can use that kind of like a leg sweep. You can like it's like oh. Yeah. They're like, oh, suddenly they got it. I guess they're going to the bathroom.
But anyway, so let's say you got to go take a slash. We're going to say take a slash. Okay. You've got to take a slash. And there is no way that can happen soon. Mm. Like, there's no way that can happen soon. There's a, you're involved with something. You are somewhere. That's just not going to happen. Okay. It's your body seems like it can understand and acknowledge that that's not going to happen soon and can tamp down on that feeling of urgency.
You do have a little bit of voluntary control over you.
I'm saying involuntary control. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it's I could go into something and I know I'm going to be engaged with this for a while, and it's just like my body shuts it out. It's like, okay, yeah, I know I can't do this. I know I can't take a slash right now. So I'm just killing myself saying take a slash. I cannot take a slash right now. Okay. So I just don't feel like I have to. And then loop around later on, then I have to again. Right? It's right. Like your body, if it knows that a problem can be remedied, then that's when you feel the problem. So is it possible that super early humans, before blanket technology was discovered, did they just not overly notice cold? Did they just kind of like, oh, it's kind of uncomfortable here, and then eventually die because they got too cold? I think Steve stopped moving. He was out there for a while, and then he died. So, yeah. But we don't know why. We've developed no technology to resolve this.
I'm pretty sure, like, people would be like our first blankets in this case here, where it would be like you just get close to people and you just treat them like blankets or like a blanket, like a warm object to come to encompass you at that point.
I guess. Yeah. I guess like if you did feel something warm, suddenly your body would be like, oh,
Steve died. But
yeah, no, Steve is like the first guy. He didn't hug anybody else. He never. No.
Steve wasn't a hugger.
No, everyone, you know, this is pre-blanket technology. Everyone was running around nude. He didn't want to be a problem. You know, he didn't want to be labeled a pest. So he's like, I'm just not going to hug anyone casually because, you know, my balls are going to be right there.
Yeah, it's the Ice Age. So big deal.
Yeah, whatever. But then as soon as that first hug came along and everyone was like, wait a minute. Suddenly I'm feeling why Steve died. It's because he got this non-warm feeling. Holy shit, I've ruined it for all of humanity.
Guys, check it out. I invented the hug.
Right. We invented the hug. Now, immediately the first thing they did, let's invent the artificial hug.
Yeah.
I mean, a blanket, it's like it's like the fleshlight version of a hug. Isn't it?
That is the worst description I've ever heard.
But it's entirely apt.
You are correct. You are correct.
It's entirely apt. It's a need. It's a need that naturally humans would fulfill with a different human. But you can't always do that. So you've got to invent an artificial thing to take care of it sometimes.
We're gonna get a blanket. All cozy over here.
Yeah, it's the same human thought process created blankets and pocket pussies. It's the same thing. A blanket is a dildo. It's they're all the same. They're all the same. Every single one of them.
You know, I was kind of hoping that this conversation would let me, like, I had a couple of videos to choose from, and I was trying to say, like, well, let's see where the conversation goes, and I'll pick one of the videos, and I think I'm even further away at this point, but I think I got to be. We've not only strayed further away from God, we've further strayed away from which video I'm choosing, but I think I got one for you.
Okay. I'm willing to accept it.
You have no idea what the video is.
I do not. I am the lowly co-host.
Yeah, this is the blanket for you, actually. This is...
dude. We can't be talking about blankets. We're going to get banned by TikTok.
Let's blanket.
BL asterisk 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 E-T.
Oh. like Linus was like Linus from Peanuts was just the was just deranged at
top
point.
Top tier blanket gooner right there.
Yeah. I'm gonna start the video. I don't have a response to that. I'm gonna start it in 3, 2, 1.
All right.
Yeah,
it's a lady. She's doing
Cindy Crawford, actually.
It's Cindy Crawford.
Yeah. The blanket for the 90s, basically.
1991's lady, Cindy Crawford. Mm-hmm. Woe be unto you if you were a lady in 1991 and not Cindy Crawford. And she's drinking Pocari Sweat.
Yes, she's drinking the Japanese Ion energy drink, Pocari Sweat.
Pocari Sweat. So she's doing Cindy Crawford, the lady of 1991. Yeah. She's practicing with the sword. She's swinging the sword around.
Sphinx's plead.
Yeah, she's got like a real fake looking, like Conan the Barbarian suit of armor on.
Yeah,
and she's just swinging the sword around. I don't know that she's fighting anyone.
Mm.
She's just kind of, I don't know, practicing.
Yeah,
in some tights. And there's also a cougar, a puma. What's the black one?
A puma. That's a puma.
Is it a puma?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a puma growls at her, and its eyes glow green for a second. Yeah.
And then there's like a wombat.
A stop motion wombat.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in this. Like they hired the puma is real. The wombat thing is not. That's stop motion. So they hired a puma. They got someone who had a puma, and for this video, like, got a real puma. But they're like, no, we don't need like a rabbit thing. We're just gonna stop motion that.
Who has a puma? That's what, is it like a puma rental company? Like Harold's real ass pumas?
Yeah. Kind of, actually, yeah.
Come get, we rent any kind of puma you need. We got small pumas, big pumas, regular sized pumas.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all pumas. Different colors? Nope. That's what makes them a puma.
I'm sure there's a lot of calls in Hollywood that start with, like, do you have a puma? Just like, like there's nothing else to it. It's just like you're earnestly cold calling people puma rescue areas to help out. Like, there's like, do you got puma? And it's like someone who can train a puma. We do not want to get mauled by a puma. We just
it's going to be in a commercial with Cindy Crawford, but it does not have to get that close to Cindy Crawford. We can even film it on a different day.
Yeah nope. I mean
if you're the puma man, you're like, no, I'm absolutely going to be there on the same day as Cindy Crawford. How often do I get to
It's 1991. Meet
Cindy Crawford. Yeah, exactly. This is the lady. This is 1991 Cindy Crawford. Yeah. I don't know if this commercial was made in 1991, but it feels like it could have been.
You know what? I'm going to say yes, just like on the – I'm just going to override it just thinking about 1991. And I think like if you didn't have a Cindy Crawford calendar up like within 40 feet of you, what, like, that was 1991 in a nutshell right there.
Yep. The but then again, I'm always, every time I'm like, it's definitely this year. It's always 3 years later.
Yeah.
This could be 1994.
Could be. It could be.
Someone could be playing Sonic the Hedgehog 2 somewhere near here.
Yeah. Maybe it's Cindy Crawford. Maybe it's the person who brought the puma. He's not paying attention to the puma. He's playing It's Sonic Tuesday, and he just bought Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for his Sega Genesis system.
Cindy Crawford sold a lot of drinks, didn't she? She was a big drink model.
Yeah.
Remember, like, didn't she sell Pepsi? Wasn't there like a Pepsi, very famous Pepsi commercial with her?
There was definitely a soda commercial. I'm not sure if it was Pepsi, but I would believe you if you said Pepsi on that. And
in every country, Cindy Crawford can rep a different drink.
Yeah.
That's her. It's like, listen, yeah, I'll sell Pepsi in America, but I'm 100% going up to Canada next week and I will be selling Powerade.
It's like, look, I got a bitter contract war happening between Powerade and Clearly Canadian. And yeah. One of those is going to be the official soft drink of Cindy Crawford while she's up here in explicit yeah. country here. I do this for every country I go to here. I make a lot of money. This is how Cindy Crawford makes it.
Yeah. I mean, how you can only like she was a model, right? Like she wore yeah. clothes. There's only so many clothes you can wear. And get money for it, I would imagine. The idea that like, yeah, you've just got to find your niche elsewhere. It's like, listen, I got famous enough that they'll give me money for doing beverages. And my bid is I'll do a different beverage in every country. Like, it sounds real. It sounds like something I would 100% believe is some sort of business plan. A agent worked out for her.
Yeah, I mean, like and we've streamlined it nowadays. Like everything, every goddamn organization has like the official drink or the official basket weavers of NFL or something like that going
yeah.
on. Yeah, we've really streamlined it. But at this time, this was purely meant for the celebrity market here, especially like
Cindy Crawford.
Yeah,
I think yeah. just Cindy Crawford, because the thing is, and now she would have to be pretty aggressive with this, right? Because you couldn't have like Kate Moss going behind you and like, well, I'll do Coke.
Kylie Minogue, like,
yeah,
fuck right off.
No, absolutely. Like none of these, you have like, that's probably what she's doing with the sword. She's probably getting mean as shit with the sword. So anytime, you know, like Halle Berry was like wanting to do a drink, she'd be like, hell no. I've got this sword.
I got a puma. I got a wombat looking thing.
I've rented this puma. If you are going to fight the puma, please try not to damage it. There's a $500 deposit on this puma. Let's face it. Some of these countries aren't paying me very much. Mongolia's famous tea brand is not paying Cindy Crawford a whole lot. Mm-mm.
It's a... Yeah, just not a whole lot in there. That puma can come loose at any moment.
Yeah,
Aaron, do you think if you knew you could rent a puma, would you like? And you knew how, like you knew the exact number to call or the website to go, like rent a puma. You could do it within 3 clicks.
Yeah.
Do you think you'd just be haunted by that, just like knowledge, and just like think you would have to rent a puma at any given moment?
John, this goes right back to what we were talking about, right? It's that like I've lived my whole life never feeling the need for a puma because I never considered it a possibility. But mm-hmm. if the puma is rentable, if I could get a puma here in an incredibly short amount of time, it's almost like I start feeling the pain of not having a puma when a puma could improve things.
Yes. Yeah. I'm with you there. So like knowing that, having that knowledge is a, there's clearly benefits because pro, you have access to a puma. Con, yeah. You just know, like you're like when you like you're just gonna every decision from now on is just gonna be you trying to decide if you need a puma for it.
Yeah, I mean it's gotta always be in the back of your mind. It's like, okay, do you need a Band-Aid right now, John?
No, not really.
No, probably you don't. Okay, because we're filming a podcast. I have heard you go ow. Okay, yeah. But in the back of your mind, you know you can get a Band-Aid if you need one.
True.
So it's just like it's just sitting back there. It's an idol. It's like a surface. It's running in the background. It's eating up just a little bit of your brain's RAM to know that you can fix this with a Band-Aid if the Band-Aid problem exists.
If I have a boo-boo,
and I would not like to run puma.exe in my and as a background process, I don't want it running at startup because I just don't think I'll ever need a puma. First of all, no, I would never rent a fucking puma. Like, just to get that out of the way.
That's strong words for someone who would be more, that's more likely to rent a puma in the future, I'm sure.
I don't, it's how responsible am I for this puma? Just like, Harold's real ass pumas come by and be like, here's a puma. I'll pick it up next Friday. Till then, it's on you. because then I would never. I would not want to feed a puma or groom a puma or take a puma for a walk. But if Harold comes and I was just like, I need to apply this puma to that shrub over there.
Right.
And he would like facilitate that. Then fine. I might rent a puma at that point. You know, for anything I might need a puma for. But it's really like a puma and a guy to direct the puma is what I would need. Yeah, I need a support structure around this puma.
Okay.
I can't deal with no raw ass puma over here.
Yeah. I would say that for the most part you would have the handler with the puma, but maybe there might be some rare circumstances where you and the puma are alone in the room. Maybe the puma's tied up because Harold's really got to go take a slash sometime.
No, I will inform Harold immediately that he is not allowed to take a slash while he's here. No slashes, which should, if our theory of knowing that you can't take care of one of your problems, therefore your body does not acknowledge that it's a problem until something severe happens. If that's true, then that should keep Harold from ever leaving the puma.
Okay. All right.
I think I'll just be like, no slashing allowed. Man, do you think if I put a sign on the outside of my house and was like serious about it, like no bathroom usage, that anyone that came to visit me would essentially, they wouldn't use the bathroom, but they would also not really feel like they had to use the bathroom either because I knew they couldn't.
I think you'd be like everyone would be like, it's like, man, like go to Aaron's place and you're like, you can't take a slash in there. He won't allow. It's weird.
It's weird, but also he just really won't. But I've never needed to while I've been over there. It's strange.
I'm pretty sure I've had to use the bathroom every time I've been over
to your house. Because you know you can. Mm-hmm. John, you can.
I would break Aaron law. I would go into that bathroom and I would.
I'm locking it. I've got Harold rented. He's in front of the door with the puma.
Man, okay.
The puma's keeping you from going. There's no going in. Your body will have to adapt to this new reality. It's not allowed.
But that's only inside the house, right? Like. You know,
I mean, that's a good point. As long as your brain can weasel out of it, right? I guess I'm just going to have to move into some kind of void, some kind of like a house that's just surrounded by nothingness. And so you kind of can't leave.
Okay.
So until you're ready to go. Like you walk out the door, when you walk out the door, you're back in your own house.
I'm definitely pissing into the void. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Like, I'm going to eschew all other options and just piss into the nothingness.
You're pissing into the void now?
Yeah.
You know what they say? When you piss into the void pisses back.
You know what? I'm willing to take that chance at this point here. You got a freaking puma in there, man.
You can just get it all over you, John. It's gonna taste just like Pokari sweat.
It's gonna be truth be told, it's gonna be very awkward. I'm probably just gonna go home early. At that point, it'll be a bad time for all. Aaron, did you ever have Pokari sweat? Have you ever had that?
Man, you know, there was like a time when I guess like the internet was happening, you know, kind of in a big way for the first time, that people started discovering and writing about these, you know, foreign, you know, drinks we didn't have here. And I was pretty interested in the idea of a Pokari sweat after reading about it. And I'm confident I have seen it at a convention somewhere. So it's possible. It's possible I've had a Pokari sweat. I don't think I would be in. You could probably get it like an Asian food store too, right?
Yeah, like I actually had it. Like the local Asian market around here has it actually. So
okay, I bet I have. I bet I've had a Pokari sweat.
Yeah,
I don't know. Have you had a Pokari sweat?
Yeah, it's like it's okay. It's tastes like very lightly of grapefruit. It's kind of weird.
It doesn't taste like Cindy Crawford.
No, doesn't. There doesn't seem to be any sweat nor Bacari in it.
I'd like to say, John, that you saying that it doesn't taste like Cindy Crawford means that you do know what Cindy Crawford tastes like.
The 1991 Cindy Crawford.
1991 Cindy Crawford. Yeah, I'm not talking about 2024 Cindy Crawford. I'm talking about classic Crawford.
the original formula, yeah. Cindy Crawford.
Yeah. Cindy Crawford. Classic, not Cindy Crawford diet or new Cindy Crawford.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember, like, it really builds on the electrolyte part of it. And that kind of makes me remember, like the current trend that's happening with every company trying to make their own Pedialyte of some sort.
I'm unaware of this trend. This is a trend?
Oh.
Every company is making Pedialyte now.
A lot of drink companies are either making a drink that is like electrolyte drink, or a formula that you can like put into water to make yourself an electrolyte drink out of it. And it just based on the whole thing, it's like, oh shit, like drunk people are using this to cure hangovers. Hold on, we need more electrolyte drinks. It's the Dragon Con strat, man.
Okay, it's the next development of. How can we disguise the fact that this is alcohol? Like, you know, like your White Claws, like mm-hmm. your White Claw derivatives, your sort of hard root beer. There's hard root beer I see being sold a lot now.
But it's not alcohol, though. It's the chaser for alcohol. It's the thing to hopefully make the headache and all the bad stuff of alcohol go away.
For now, right? It's like you've got to establish Pedialyte for adults as a drink, and then you will 100% be getting hard Pedialyte within the next 2 years.
Like there's White no Claw way with electrolytes. Oh god,
there's no way that you're not getting hard Pedialyte. Mike's hard Pedialyte.
Not for babies anymore.
Not for babies. It's sold directly next to regular Pedialyte, which is for babies. And don't get them confused.
Yeah, just. It is the FDA did not approve it. We just do it as a dare.
What does it matter? It's got ions.
Kids getting healthy one way or the other, I guess.
Fuck it. I'm done. I'm tapping. I can't watch this commercial anymore. It's rough. Cindy Crawford looks so sweaty. She looks so sweaty.
I mean, she's working that.
Her hair looks so sweaty. Her makeup is immaculate.
Yeah, yeah. It's She's training with the sword. She's got to put that training in, like to go fight Guatemala. Get the official drink sponsorship there.
Yeah, you got it.
It's a bloodbath over there.
Yep. I've heard that Pamela Anderson is down there trying to sell a drink that can't happen.
Yeah, no can do there. It's like, that's her territory. The world is her oyster here.
She's 1991. She's already dead away with Yasmine Bleeth. How many more of the Baywatch cast does she have to come cut through to sell drinks to Guatemalans?
that's the way the world worked, though. That's how it worked.
Yeah. Especially in the 90s.
Yeah.
We solved a lot of problems on TV with swords in the 90s.
We did. We had a lot of shows for that. Just in case, like, we weren't completely good enough with we'd have to have like sword and sorcery type stuff. We just had to have that on the TV at some point. That was always required.
Well, I don't think we ever should have changed that.
I'm kind of in agreement there on that. But yeah, cool. All right, that's Cindy Crawford, Bacari Sweat.
We did it.
There was a time where I couldn't rent a tiger, but there was a tiger near where we lived. There was a magic show that was in the tourist town that I lived in, and they like it, there was a horse riding stable near us that they took care of the tiger when the tiger wasn't in the magic show, basically. So, but it was like within a mile of my house. So there was just every like any brief moment, it's like there's a potentiality of a tiger being nearby.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, not to like Bigfoot you on tigers being nearby your childhood home, but there was a tiger sanctuary kind of thing not far from where my parents lived. And you can't like visit it. I don't think. You can go in. But it feels, after watching Tiger King, it feels very much like when you think about where it is and what's going on in there, it's like a Tiger King situation. Because it's just kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
And I don't know. There's just big fences and there's just tigers in there. Just tigers. And you can hear them sometimes. You can hear them roaring sometimes. Strange.
Okay. Do you think you could, like, if you found their number, do you think you could rent a tiger? Rent a puma?
I don't want to know. I'm going back. I don't want puma. I don't want the puma service. I don't want the tiger service. I never want to solve a problem with a big cat. I don't want that to be one of the options I go through. It's like, something else will work. You know, like I feel like there's not a lot that a tiger could solve that like a shovel couldn't when you get right down to it in modern life. Like, what do you really want a tiger for? Do you want it to kill an antelope? I can kill an antelope with a shovel. It's fine.
Oh, hold on. I'm getting reality show idea here. I'm Aaron versus Tiger here. Here we go. You get a shovel here, but I want to see that, the side by side comparison of fighting an antelope.
I mean, I'll fight an antelope with a shovel.
Okay,
give me a shovel. Honestly, the idea. Okay, here's our newest pitch. It's called Aaron Has a Shovel.
Okay.
And it's a little bit of a misnomer because I have lots of shovels. I have as many shovels as I need. And in every episode, I'm given an increasingly complex or difficult task. And the only tool I have to solve it is a shovel.
Okay.
And if I need 10 shovels, I can have 10 shovels. But it's just shovels. It's just what can and can't we do with shovels? And I get bussed around to different parts of the country. It's like, okay, here's a new problem. This guy needs, he needs a fence. Antelopes keep getting in. Well, shit, I'll just build a fence out of shovels and I'll kill this antelope with the shovel. And then I'm doubly fixed.
The same shovel for both? Or are you going to use two different shovels?
Well, I'll be building the fence out of shovels. That's what I'm saying. I have an infinite amount of shovels as far as the show is concerned.
Okay.
You know, they just pull it out
of the roof.
You just pull up like a dump truck and it beep, 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 starts lifting up his thing. It's just a bunch of shovels fall out.
Okay.
Big shovels, little shovels, as many as I need. Or should it only be one very specific size and type of shovel? That might be more funny.
You know what? I think it should be one specific type, but you spend, this is a reality show. We got to fill out some airtime for sure. So I think we have 15 minutes dedicated to the person and their problem on there and talking about it with different shocking angles about what the problem is done with freeze frames in there. You coming in with your shovel truck coming down, like going in, and then you reveal it, and like maybe you like talk about you reveal the shovel, and then you spend like 15 minutes talking about why you chose that particular shovel. Boom, half the episode already done.
Already got it done.
WDB Discovery, call us right now.
Yeah, we'll do it. John can be the producer. He can set up everything, and then I'll just go and have a shovel.
I'll hire a puma. Aaron won't take that responsibility.
That's fine.
But I will.
If you want to live with that knowledge that a puma is acquirable for the rest of your life, you go right ahead. But I won't curse myself with that.
I'm going to accidentally curse you. I'm going to, whoops, I dropped my folded piece of paper with a puma number on it.
It's just this four pumas call. Cheap. and it's got dollar signs instead of E's.
C-H-E-E-P. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that's been a video death loop here. It's like we do this every week. You can tell your friends, tell your loved ones, tell everyone, like hold a blanket and tell the blanket about us on that, and ask both that your blanket and the questions to questions@videodeathloop.com. Review us on your favorite podcasting platform. We like that. We like word of mouth a lot on that. It just helps make things go around, you know.
Yep, sure does.
And I don't think I have anything else to say there. Aaron, do you have anything you want to add?
Have a nice week.
There we go. Bye.
Bye.